You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
There was nothing in the grant application and or granting of the purpose of the grant and the description of the grant that would call for what is referred to as gain of function. Gain of function meaning taking a virus that could infect humans and making it either more transmissible and or pathogenic to humans. That categorically was not done.
Not done. This is May 26, 2021. That was Dr. Fake. Fauci, you might know him as, speaking yesterday to a House congressional committee, answering questions about the money that his organization sent to the Wuhan lab as they were supposedly investigating what? See, Dr. Fake, says we sent some money, a modest amount, but we did not send it to be looking at gain of function of various viruses. Gain of function is another way of phrasing weaponizing a virus. He said, we didn't send the money for that purpose. Maybe he's absolutely correct that they didn't send it for that purpose, but they did send money. And if they didn't really know how it was going to be used, why did they send money? And, of course, don't forget how many flip-flops this man has had on what to do about COVID. You don't need a mask. It'd be stupid. It won't do you any good. Oh, you do need a mask. No, you don't really. No, you need two masks. If you're vaccinated, you don't need a mask. No, if you're vaccinated, you need to have a mask. In fact, if you're vaccinated, you may need to have two masks. How many stories, how many flip? This guy is flip-flopping around on the boardwalk more than a walleye pulled in. In the meantime, we have a Senate bipartisan proposal to block federal funding that would include Dr. Fauci's group in the future, for any state-run labs in China. We're getting a bipartisan support in the Senate. Good, because otherwise the Biden administration has also been helping China cover this up. They're just now saying, oh, there might be something to it. And don't forget the state-controlled media. When Trump was in office, at that time, the mainstream media was reporting over and over again that Trump was a xenophobic and against yellow people because he called out China for its involvement. And now, what other secrets does China have? What else are they doing? We'll be joined by an expert on China, Gordon G. Chang, a little bit later. CNN and NNN on a campaign to blame Republicans for anti-Semitic recent attacks. Why? Another part of their cover-up for what they have been doing. They're harping on Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene comparing wearing masks to the Holocaust. Obviously, that was stupid. Should have been called out immediately. McCarthy, the House Speaker, House Leader, did it a little bit too late. But Lemon, Fruitcake, and Cuomo are ramping that up to explain recent attacks and at the same time cover up and ignore why Senator Schumer, a Jewish religious man, had not said anything about these anti-Semitic attacks. And in fact, had not condemned members of his own party for saying, it's good that Hamas is attacking Israel, pretty much. That was pretty much what they were saying. Even claiming that we were sending money or weapons to Israel just so they could kill children in Gaza. Senator Schumer, nothing. Nancy Pelosi, nothing. That's what they're doing. They're trying to cover this up now. Censorship is censorship. Chris Bedford wrote a piece on The Federalist, or for The Federalist, on how corporate media launders opinions to attack inconvenient people and inconvenient facts. He will also be joining us over the next 2 hours. So as you can tell, we've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. And also, a push to attack Abraham Lincoln and remove him. Abraham Lincoln, the great emancipator, now considered racist, irrelevant, and not blameless. We'll get into that story. And here I have a question. This might embarrass you before we finish today. I'm not going to ask you to even, if you're in the midst of someone else, to answer the question aloud. You just think of your answer. It might really embarrass you. I'm telling you that up front. Because when I pose this question, and want to tell you why the question is being posed, you're going to say, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. I'm not. We have a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your friends and neighbors know we are on the air. Let your enemies know. Glad to have everybody listening. All the time. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels, old number seven. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
That's where we are tonight. Still with the craziness, the insanity on the right. One party. That's who the Republican Party, that's what the Republican Party is right now. That's who you are right now. Own it. The party of insensitive statements about the Holocaust and Jewish people. The party of anti-Semitism?
You need to own it. That's Don Lemon Fruitcake from CNN and NNN, or was... suggested by Boots on the Ground correspondent Chicago, maybe CFN, fake news. But here he was last night. He and Chris Cuomo got their act together and decided, you know, let's attack the Republicans for the anti-Semitic attacks that are occurring across the nation, because they're really the ones behind all the hate crime, don't you know? Obviously, it has to be Republicans, conservatives, anyone on the right side. It cannot be those on the left. Because we are so pure and clean. The members of the left that don't ever speak of anything vile or nasty or violence, such as just general attitudes and terms toward Trump when he was in office, or even his children. Hollywood elite saying at one point, maybe some of them, that suggesting maybe we take his kids and throw them to a group of pedophiles, and others carry a Jim Carrey among them, adding a piece of artwork that shows the Trump children being gored to death. Yeah, that was nothing wrong with that. But, of course, we had this incident over the weekend in New York City, downtown Manhattan. some folks dining outside when they're finally able to do so, and some folks come by and start shouting, and the folks that are shouting this are either carrying PLO flags for the Palestinian liberation or wearing scarves of such, or even supporting Hamas logos and slogans, asking anybody here Jewish, when some people identified, and immediately started attacking, making slanderous remarks to them that we couldn't even put on the air unedited, spitting on them. What did Republicans or conservatives have to do with that? I wouldn't really blame Democrats for that either. I don't do that. But if they're going to start firing on Republicans and trying to say we're responsible for that, you need to look in the mirror and back into your own group. I told you yesterday that the New York Times, which, by the way, the New York Times, all the major networks, pretty much ignored the story I just told you. They also ignored the story of an elderly Jewish man crossing the street, and he was attacked and beaten, kicked repeatedly. They pretty much ignored it. If it had been someone Asian or some other color, perhaps they would have jumped in. But this was a Jewish man that was being attacked by those who were upset because of the battle, most recent fighting between Israel and Hamas. And the first shots fired in that incident, which we're still under a ceasefire, was when Hamas launched rockets indiscriminately into civilian targets in Israel. They did not care. In fact, I quoted you yesterday, one of the Hamas co-founders saying, we're targeting major civilian populations. In other words, they want to kill as many Jews as they can. And yes, Israel retaliated with precision strikes. But the best precision strikes are also going to have collateral damage, especially when Hamas hides its weapons and its commanders behind the skirts of women and little children. And they don't care if their fellow Palestinians are killed, because they can use them as not just cannon fodder, but as publicity propaganda. There's a statement from someone regarding these recent attacks in New York and elsewhere across the nation. And this person I'm going to quote, saying, take off your kippah, that's a head covering. Hide your star, your Star of David, if you fear for your life as a Jew. He's talking about here in the U.S. One woman criticizing his recommendations to hide Jewish identity, saying, I wore my Magen David today. It's a little on the small side. I need a bigger one. I do fear for my safety in the current climate. Another man said, should I hide my eyes to avoid being targeted for being Asian? And also compared the guy's statement to victim blaming, another Twitter user saying, well, she was wearing an awfully short skirt, so that must have been why she was raped. That's going back to that kind of storyline. Who made that statement? Take off your covering, hide the fact that you're a Jew. Who said that in this nation? You may not know him directly, but his title should stand out, Aaron Kayak. I hope I'm pronouncing it correct, K-E-Y-A-K. I could be off, I'm not intending to. But I do know what his title is. He is the Jewish Engagement Director at Biden for President. The Jewish Engagement Director at Biden for President. And he is basically saying, even in the midst of the Biden administration, you need to hide that you're a Jew right now. Why doesn't he stand up and say the Biden administration will make sure we round everybody up and they will be fully prosecuted and you are free to identify your religion? That's what this nation's built on. I don't care what your religion is. We have freedom of religion in this country. As long as you're not using your religion to attack another, you're free to practice it. So House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and Congressman David Kustoff, Republicans, introducing a bill aiming to target anti-Semitic hate crimes. The bill is entitled Preventing the Anti-Semitic Hate Crimes Act. It would direct the Department of Justice to assign an official to speed up all these reports of anti-Semitic attacks. not just now, but over the next 3 years, and mandate that the Attorney General issue periodic reports to Congress. It is getting quick traction, even bipartisan. In the past, we've had, in fact, McCarthy stated in an interview, Democrats wrongly blaming the violence of the Middle East on Israel. And he added Representatives Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashid Tlaib, and Cori Bush irresponsibly tried to delegitimize our closest ally in the region, calling it an apartheid state. He said within days that same sentiment of bigotry spilled into several major U.S. cities. Graphic videos showed pro-Hamas mobs intentionally targeting random Americans simply because they were Jewish. Well, even though McCarthy did that, even though Minority House Leader McCarthy stepped forward to do that, it's not enough in the minds of the conspiracy at CNN and NN as they get together and said, we've got to shift the blame. How are we going to do this? And you heard part of it from Don Lemon Fruitcake, and it was also joined on CNN and NN last night with Chris Cuomo, as he talked about a letter McCarthy did issue regarding Congresswoman Marjorie Greene. Here we go.
To use any ugly tactic you can to blame something bad on Democrats at a time when the Jewish people face increased violence and threats. True. Anti-Semitism is on the rise. True. But where does he say it's on the rise? In the Democrat Party. And is completely ignored by Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Well, that's a fact. It's a fact. And especially Senator Schumer. Clear facts. Schumer was so slow to react at all when it came to defending Israel's right to defend itself against rockets raining down upon its civilian population. And members of the Democrat Party, as we have discussed and not just did again, including newly elected Cori Bush, suddenly decide they're an expert on foreign affairs and saying that we, the U.S., are responsible for this violence because we've been selling weapons to Israel so they can kill Arabs in the Gaza. You think that doesn't escalate? Now, of course, what you've got going on in the midst of all this, Marjorie Taylor Greene, a Republican, made a remark that was comparing the wearing of masks to the Holocaust. Obviously, that's a stupid statement. Very ignorant and so many levels. And I agree with that. And of course, CNN realized, well, you know, we didn't see anything from McCarthy right away on that. He should have called that out, but they're afraid they'll lose some of their support because some of the people that support Marjorie Taylor Greene, they also need. All right, I'll give them that. I'll let them have that argument. As long as you also turn around and go after your own who have done nothing, that would be nothing, and I should add, whatever they did way too late, that would include Senator Schumer not coming to the defense of Israel while rockets are raining down from Hamas and not firing back and saying to fellow Democrats who say that this nation is supporting Israel in the killing of children. But Don Lemon Fruitcake, I'm going to give him the cake for this ridiculous aspect that he issued last night. So I don't know what this guy drinks that he comes up with it, but I'm going to let him run. Just sit back and listen to Don Lemon Fruitcake.
Do you know how this part goes? You ready? Say it with me. A disgraced, twice impeached, one-term former president who could face potential criminal charges over his family business. That's where we are tonight. After a year of turmoil, a year of hate and division, a year of COVID, a year of reckoning with race in the wake of the murder of George Floyd, that's where we are tonight. Still, with the craziness, the insanity on the right. One party. That's who the Republican Party, that's what the Republican Party is right now. That's who you are right now. Own it. the party of insensitive statements about the Holocaust and Jewish people. The party of anti-Semitism?
Don Lemon Fruitcake. See how he wrapped all that up into, because when they start trying to smear somebody, you grab every rock you can find. You find every little piece of mud. The reference that Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican, made about comparing having to wear mask mandates to the Holocaust is absolutely stupid. I will agree fully with them. But they're using that one thing to suddenly say, see, there's not enough being done, and this is the party that when you put all this crazy year together, a year of turmoil, a year of hate, division, a year of COVID, a day of reckoning with the race, so forth and so on, that's where we are with the craziness, the insanity on the right, ignoring the insanity on the left. When the New York Times, again, a left-wing columnist claiming the other day that this recent anti-Semitic violence helped shore up a system of apartheid and discrimination as a, quote, gift to the right. Immediately, she came under fire. And she admitted that the paper is not covering violence against Jews as much as the same attention as when people of color are attacked. Talk about hypocrisy. Famed attorney Alan Dershowitz says, we have much more censorship coming. We'll get into that and also our guest later in this hour, Christopher Bedford of The Federalist, on how corporate media launders opinion to attack inconvenient people, inconvenient facts.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So you probably have heard already that Florida, the state of Florida, under Governor DeSantis, making it illegal for Twitter, Facebook, and others to block political candidates, to ban them. And it was not done just for Trump. You can make that statement because obviously he got banned. And according to the Inquiry Board for Facebook, in doing their own research, the Inquiry Board Facebook set up said, yes, you guys did not do it the proper way, but it was probably worthy that you did, but we're going to give you 6 months to decide what you're going to do next. So Trump is still banned from Facebook. Twitter shut him down. YouTube, so forth and so on. And it's not just politicians. It's anybody who wants to make a statement either supporting something that those on the left consider wrong or maybe just stupid in general. They want to make a decision at their end that you're the one out of control. We told you previously about James O'Keefe and his investigative group, Project Veritas. They're now saying that they have evidence from two Facebook whistleblowers saying there are internal Facebook documents detailing a plan to curb vaccine hesitancy on a global scale. The point being, of course, that if you are talking about maybe you don't want to get a vaccine, then it might be harmful for you and so forth, but then Facebook's not going to let that get on. Now, there was a time they would when Trump was in office because it could be dangerous if it came under Trump administration. But according to these whistleblowers, they're saying, regardless of whether or not a comment is true, if it goes against the system Facebook has in place, it's demoted or hidden from view if it doesn't match the Facebook narrative. Even a like on a system, you read something, you put a little check that you like it, that would be hidden so you don't see all the likes. Famed attorney, Harvard attorney, emeritus Alan Dershowitz in an interview with Epoch TV said, we are in a, quote, very, very dangerous situation. a very dangerous situation now where the left, which has enormous influence on American universities, has enormous influence on social media, has enormous influence on certain kinds of politics in the media, are trying to suppress free speech, and they are succeeding. And we have to fight back. He said all this, as he describes, massive censorship, he says, and you certainly agree, I'm sure, quote, that's not good for the country. It's not good for the Constitution. It's not good for freedom of speech. It's not good by any standards. It has to stop. And we, the consumers, have to demand Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter stop this censorship. Twitter's still indicating that Trump and his 90 million followers on his platform will still remain suspended indefinitely. Facebook supposedly make a review in 4 or 5 months. They probably won't change their mind either. And today you say that's okay because it's not someone that you like or something that you said or you did. When we come back, we'll be joined by Chris Bedford. He wrote a great piece for The Federalist talking about this very thing, how corporate media stands together to silence anyone and anything they don't like. They don't like. They're deciding. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
A basic description of the word censorship, the suppression or prohibition of any parts of books, films, news, etc. that are considered obscene, politically unacceptable, or a threat to security. It does not have to be, quote, government censorship to be censorship. It can be corporate censorship. It could be your dad telling you, don't you dare do that or say that again. That's a somewhat form of censorship, but you know where we stand now. We are way past things like that. But the problem is, some still say, well, the government's not really doing it. So you, Facebook, Twitter, they're all private enterprises. They can write and say what they want. Yeah, and they also say, and they can censor cutting anyone off they want. Yeah, but you're going to have to call it censorship. What else you want to call it? Joining us now, we've had him on before. Glad to have him back again. He's a senior editor at The Federalist, Christopher Bedford. Chris, welcome back again.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
Well, I'm looking at a piece you wrote a couple of days ago that appeared in The Federalist. And, folks, it's titled Exactly How Corporate Media Launders Opinion to Attack Inconvenient People and Facts. But before I get into that, I want to run through some things with you, Chris. Let's before you joined us in the preceding segment, I was quoting some statements that Professor Harvard, former Harvard Law School professor, now emeritus, Alan Dershowitz said, speaking about where we stand at this point in the nation. He said, right now we are having a situation, let me get the exact quote, we're in a very, very dangerous situation where the left, which has enormous influence on American universities, enormous influence on social media, enormous influence on certain kinds of politics in the media, are trying to suppress free speech, and they are succeeding. Your response.
That's exactly true, and it's extremely dangerous. He's very correct there. What we saw really, where the left went over and beyond anything that we'd ever seen before, was at the end of this election, Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton, when they came down and they decided that they were going to censor anyone, including the New York Post, a newspaper that was founded by one of America's founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton, and said that their story is not allowed to get out there. They said if fact checks were going to come, the fact checks never came. Places like Facebook that had tried to stay out of the fact check game and let other people do it for them were suddenly involved, promising that they were going to come soon. You saw Twitter, you saw Facebook, you saw Google, you saw everybody coming together with their friends over at the New York Times, at CNN, MSNBC, the Washington Post, and decided in the cabal that this information was not allowed. The reason they gave is they said it was a foreign information op and it wasn't true. But that all turned out to be false. Every single bit of it. It was not
And not one of them put out a retraction.
Not one of them. It's absolutely abysmal, and it goes across the board. It's not just stopping information that they think is going to hurt candidates that they like. They also spread information to try and hurt their opponents, like the completely bogus story about the very sad death of Officer Sicknick at the U.S. Capitol, who died, it seems, of natural causes. His autopsy was suppressed. That information was not allowed out there. Well, the New York Times ran rampant, running story after story, saying he was beaten to death with a fire extinguisher. None of that was true. It formed the center of an impeachment. It's formed the center of congressmen and senators being called out, major companies refusing to give any kind of money to any kind of Republican, and then massive crackdowns. Some of them are still held in solitary confinement while the Republican Party is silent on it. This is the level of disinformation we're dealing with, and it's very difficult to get around.
And to that extent, also reference again the January 6th event. I have had to correct them numerous times when they report, even Associated Press, five were killed during that. No, there were not five killed. One was killed.
Did not.
The others died of health ailments. Only one was killed. That was a woman going through the window inside the Capitol.
That's exactly right. I was down there, and I've had to correct people over and over again. I was down there covering it, just like I'd covered a number of riots that have taken place in Washington, D.C., where I have the terrible duty of living these days. And what it was a large, large march, very large, peaceful march, basically throughout, ended with a riot by some of the people at the U.S. Capitol. The health in the crowd was abysmal. It was a lot of people there were walking on canes. There were people who had health ailments, and some of them had heart issues and other problems that they had. They were not killed. The only person who was actually killed was that woman who was shot, and we still don't know the identity of who shot her.
Now, Project Veritas, headed up by James O'Keefe, says they have a couple of whistleblowers who they now have on record as saying how Facebook downranks various engagements regarding likes, reports, creates, replies, controlling the content. And even if the content or comment is true, if it simply goes against whatever they set in place, it may not appear or it may go away. And one of them being the vaccine. Every time you do a story, I've noticed every time I post something on my Facebook regarding fallout or reaction to vaccine, things of this nature, immediately Facebook puts up a little, and I'm sure you've seen it too, a little note that for facts on the vaccine, go to, in other words, as if I put something false up, simply because I use the word vaccine. Go ahead.
They do this over and over again, and when you actually nail them on it, they claim that it's algorithms, as if we're living in some kind of Terminator future where the machines run humans. We all know that the humans wrote those algorithms. The humans are responsible for it. People who over and over again, not every time, but over and over again, it's conservatives and Republicans who are hit, often for stories that end up being completely true. They're hit all over and over again, and they always say, oh, don't worry, it was just an accident. It was just an accident, but the damage is done. The reach is severely limited. And they don't do that to people on the left who are their friends. Now, some of that might be caught up in programming, but don't you think when you're a massive company that you should be able to change that programming and be responsible for it?
Yeah.
And anyone
well,
who says you should be held responsible is get yelled at by the libertarian corporate saying, no, 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 they're corporations, let them do whatever they please.
Yeah, and in fact, I was reading quotes yesterday that an expose inside the New York Times that they, on the 1619 project, that they decided that the concept and the rule in the newsroom would be to kind of rewrite history. Now, the rule in a newsroom should be, get me the facts, just the facts, leave the other part for the column, but not the newsroom. But it's so intertwined right now, you cannot find the head or tail.
And there are people who have gone out there and they've changed our entire historical perspective. They've illuminated new facts or brought new documents to light that have made us think differently about our past and things that we didn't quite know, or maybe things that were lost to time. That's not what the 1619 Project did, and it wasn't led by an historian. It was a complete propaganda rewrite of U.S. history. The entire central thesis that America and the American Revolution was founded on slavery and fought for it, which was central to that entire thesis, had to be retracted quietly by the New York Times years later. It was criticized by conservative, liberal, and completely apolitical historians across the board, and it's being taught now. It's a sad lie, and we've seen what happened after that with Hannah Nicole James saying afterwards, the author, that she is proud of the riots we've experienced in this country in the last year and a half, a dozen people dead, businesses and cities across the country burned down. She was proud of that, she said, and wants them to be called the 1619 riots.
You're listening to Christopher Bedford, a senior editor for The Federalist, and the article you wrote, I want to get into in some detail because it deals on something that we're facing right now that suddenly has been 180 degrees from where we were told the story involving COVID was, as they were a year or back in Feb 2020, headline on various reports, Senator Tom Cotton repeating fringe theory of coronavirus origins. You quote also the Daily Beast, Senator Tom Cotton flogs coronavirus conspiracy theory dismissed by actual scientists. A Saudi investigator saying a GOP senator keeps pushing a debunked theory. And Forbes even wrote, Senator Tom Cotton ramps up anti-China rhetoric. I mean, on and on. And now they're saying, even Fauci had done another flip-flop. Dr. Fake now saying, we don't know where it came from. Maybe it did come out of China. Maybe it was something that got out of the lab.
Yeah, I got turned on to looking at this story because a friend of mine said, wait a second, I don't remember this. Did the media really censor people for saying that this might have come from a lab? And I said, yeah, don't you recall? A lot's happened, but that happened. And I started to pull up some links and send him links. And I just looked up Tom Cotton, Wuhan coronavirus. And it came up with the Washington Post, the New York Times, just at the top. And there was the Guardian, which is a major paper out of England, 400-year-old paper. Brought all of these up. None of them had been corrected. All of them called Tom Cotton a liar. My friend, bless him, was completely perplexed. He said, well, how could they have done that a year ago? We had no idea where the coronavirus came from. We knew it came from China. We knew that they were lying to us. And I said, I don't know. John, it's pretty wild that they had no ability to be able to begin to tell where this virus come from, but they were completely willing to call a Republican or a conservative, an ally of Donald Trump, a liar. And the ability of the American people to learn about cures that have shown to be actual treatments for the disease, to learn about where it came from, has been completely stymied by the press and by the tech oligarchs because of Donald Trump and because of their hatred of Donald Trump. And people on the conservative side and the center right have been over and over and over again saying things that turned out to be true while being censored. But the other side is just very shameless, and you won't even see any apologies because their readers will never hold them accountable.
All right. I appreciate you spending time with us and some excellent points. Again, Chris Bedford, senior editor with The Federalist. Again, we thank you for your time, sir.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
You bet. He'd also added in his article that what they're doing now, instead of issuing retractions, they just do a rewrite of history, as he writes in the conclusion, rinse, lather, repeat. More on this coming up.
Because you know I'm all about that bass. about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, 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 bass.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So in the last couple of segments, we've been talking about censorship, and it is real. It does not have to be government to be censorship. A private corporation certainly can do what it wants to, but you can also call it out for if they are deciding that we're only going to allow one side on. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a group that is dedicated to a leftist cause or a racist cause or a conservative cause or even a Klan clause. I mean, they can do it, but I mean, and then they can decide what goes in and so forth. But when you are a platform supposedly open for all the public to have a response, and you close some out that you don't like or don't fit your narrative, there is censorship. Censorship by any other name is still censorship. And now they're coming for Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, in his second inaugural address, delivered just weeks before his death, made these remarks. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who have sure borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. Those words, that charge from Abraham Lincoln, emblazoned on the headquarters of the Veterans Administration headquarters building and hospital walls. And plaques with those words have been placed in VA cemeteries across the nation to remind Americans of the speech that Frederick Douglass called the sacred effort. And when Lincoln's talking about the battle, he is obviously talking about the Civil War and the price paid to end slavery and change the nation for the better. And the South fought sometimes clearly to protect slavery, sometimes claiming it's a state's rights, but the bottom line is enslaving someone is still not acceptable. But those words of Abraham Lincoln, do they not stand strong? And yet they're under attack. Why? Sexist. They're sexist. I'm looking at an opinion piece written by Robert Wilkie, former Secretary of Department of Veterans Affairs. He's with the Heritage Foundation. He wrote it and it appeared in Washington Post Monday. And he said, despite that speech, defended by 41 million Americans who have worn the uniform since the first shots were fired on Lexington Green, April 1775, and he's pointing out, of course, it wasn't just the Civil War. It's what everything has come past that. He said, sadly, there are some who are bound determined to escape history. He says, legislation, listen to this, please. Legislation is moving through the House and is on an offer in the Senate to put Abraham Lincoln's words on the chopping block. And Robert Wilkie, writing the column, says, there is little doubt if it lands on President Biden's desk, he will sign it. What is wrong in it? Well, as I just said, it is sexist. You want me to point out specifics for you? Sure, sure. Remember you saying, well, malice toward none, charity for all, firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right. Well, I'm sure some don't like the word God in there anyway. And it goes on to say, to bind up our nation's wounds, to care for him, H-I-M, who had borne the battle, and for his H-I-S widow and his H-I-S orphan. In other words, sexist. Well, at that time, Lincoln was referring to exactly what was involved. Were there maybe some women that were involved in the Civil War? Sure there were. There had been documented some cases. But that's not really the reasoning behind those wanting to destroy this and take it off and cut it up. It is, again, the woke culture that wants to destroy anything, anything. In fact, Wilkie, as I said, former Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, said that those today who loudly argue that the Lincoln's words are non-inclusive and sexist are the same who said nothing as the Obama-Biden administration left the Veterans Affairs unit in tatters. You remember the stories coming out of VA hospitals. Very similar to COVID patients dying in New York State nursing homes. But this is where we are. They are now coming for Abraham Lincoln. You want to ask, is nothing sacred? The answer is, nothing is sacred. Next hour, more on Dr. Fake and his latest flip-flops and how China has helped cover things up. We're going to be joined by Gordon G. Chain, expert on China and the virus and what they've been doing and what other secrets China has that it plans to use against us. And then a question before we wrap the next hour, a question that will test you. It might embarrass you. I will be very frank with you. The question might embarrass you. It embarrasses me. Coming up next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.